Hello and welcome to another WATG podcast. I am your host, Corey Jennerjohn, and today I am very excited to have Dr. Simpkins join me today. It's going to be a very enlightening, very, very good conversation. So, Dr. Simpkins, thanks for joining us, and I'd like you to give an introduction and kind of tell us about yourself.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on your podcast, Corey. I am Zamira Simpkins. I'm a mother of two gifted children. One is more in math and sciences, and the other one more in art. I have been involved in the gifted and talented community in Baltimore County and currently chair the Citizens Advisory Committee for Gifted and Talented Education because of my children's experiences in getting into the gifted and talented programs, specifically the obstacles that we had to overcome to get them into proper placement. I am also a higher education professional. I work at Stevenson University, where I oversee the business administration and information systems departments. And I am not a stranger to education because I see how the K-12 students come through that system and eventually come to colleges and universities. And I see a bifurcation in students' preparedness. Some come in exceptionally well prepared and some are not so much. And then there is a middle, of course. But I'm very deeply involved in this, both for personal reasons as well as in hopes to promote gifted and talented both in Baltimore County, Maryland, and really nationwide, because this is a hot topic and we're not going to have educated career professionals if we don't invest in gifted and talented education as a nation.
I agree 100%, Dr. Simpkins. If you could clearly define the issue that is currently going on in Baltimore County that you are advocating and fighting for, what kind of give a sketch in terms of what is going on in Baltimore County right now?
So currently, the Baltimore County Public Schools are in the process of approving a budget for the next academic year. And our Board of Education has reviewed the proposal that was put forward by Superintendent Dr. Williams, in which, unfortunately, he made the decision to cut a number of resource teachers from central offices. And that included resource teachers at what we call Office of Advanced Academics, or in other places, they might be called Gifted and Talented Office. And the negative implications of that is we have gone from having 8 resource teachers in that office in the past to 4 resource teachers for the current academic year. And if things go through and this budget is finalized by the county council, then that office will be down to just 1 resource teacher. The reason this is a problem is because these resource teachers are the trainers of administrators and school teachers in over 170 Baltimore County public schools. And if you have 1 resource teacher, considering the summer breaks and other holidays, even if they traveled every day to a new school and offered training sessions, they're not going to be able to train administrators, principals, facilitators, as well as teachers on sites on how to properly identify gifted and talented students and recommend them for these gifted and talented programs. And my fear is that lack of this training will create more issues in the identification that what we currently have. And as their citizens advisory committee, we often hear from parents of children that clearly demonstrate giftedness, but they're denied for placement in particular GT programs.
Okay.
And so this issue will exacerbate if there is only one resource teacher to offer such trainings. Besides the trainings, these resource teachers also help develop curriculum with respective academic offices, whether it's in math or English language arts. And not having these resource teachers well represented in those groups developing curriculum means that there will be no appropriately differentiated curriculum for gifted and talented students going forward. So it's definitely a resource issue, and I understand that a lot of counties are doing this because there are teacher shortages nationwide, and they're trying to shift these resource teachers into local schools as opposed to keeping them in central offices, as well as due to budgetary concerns, because there is only so much money to go around, and if they can cut out the central resource teacher positions and push them towards local schools, then they don't have to spend extra money because they fill the positions at schools. But the negative implications of that is you are taking away a central resource that has a public multiplier effect, if you will, because they have specialized training that all teachers do not have across the county. There are very few who have this gifted and talented education training. And moving them to specific schools will eliminate their ability to spread their expertise to others and train others. And ultimately, this will lead to under-identification of certain groups of students, particularly those who are marginalized for income, demographic, or other reasons, and this will create even larger equity issues in who we see receiving the GT programming services.
So this is, Dr. Simpkins, this is the way it sounds like this is a problem that's going to be just further exacerbated throughout the entire nation with the lack of teachers. It sounds like school districts are just going to continue to try to save money where they can. And it just seems like, why does it seem like gifted education is always the first stop when it comes to saving money?
There is the misconception that gifted children can teach themselves. And if they're truly gifted, that they really do not need teachers or specific programming, that they will be able to develop their talents on their own. And certainly the students are very curious, and they can use some of the resources that are available right now on the internet. My son, for example, uses open source courses that are offered by universities to learn things that he is curious about, because they're not offered at school. But that does not give them the consistent, comprehensive, logical education that is offered in a particular sequence, which truly then deprives them of their right to receive appropriate education. In terms of their nationwide issue, I have seen some counties and some states either strengthen their gifted and talented education programs while others are trying to gut it, so to say. And one of the other thought processes behind it is that you have increasing gaps in learning attainment among students. And if you remove gifted programs, then you're going to have more students converge more towards the middle.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that is a lose-lose proposition in the long term, because if these gifted students are not appropriately developed and educated, we're not going to have teachers, engineers, scientists, programmers, and other people who move us really to the next generation of our societal innovations, because we're stifling their ability to grow while they're in school, when they're really looking to learn, and we're not giving them those opportunities there.
Okay. So are we, is this kind of, it just kind of seems like gifted education is going to have to morph into like some extracurricular group where they're going to have to fundraise on their own. Do you think that's where gifted education is headed in the future? I hope not, but
I certainly hope not, because all school districts for certainty put their in their mission statements such claims as we're looking to raise the standards, raise the bar, bring everybody up, provide better education for all. But the way these statements are written and the way they operate clearly are not aligned well together. And so for this is really where the equity issue comes in. For families who can afford private education or tutoring of these gifted students, those students will continue to excel. But families that are lower income, or where parents, maybe even if they are making middle class wages, but they are not educated themselves enough about gifted and talented education, they're not going to be able to advocate and promote for their students' interests. And that's why I really started actively participating in the Citizens Advisory Committee here, because as a higher education professional, I knew how to advocate for my children. But I have seen so many students that come to us, even at the university level, and they're so far ahead, or they grasp the material within minutes, what others take weeks to understand. And they have never been placed in gifted programs or more advanced programs. And so they get bored, they start acting out, they're being disciplined, because they're not listening to the teacher in the classroom, for example. And we need to ensure that these students, whose parents are not able to advocate for them, do not fall through the societal cracks where we're basically not noticing them. And so that's why it is so, so important that teachers who work with the students every day can recognize the talents of the students and say, you know what, I think you should take this placement test and maybe go to the next level Spanish class or next level math class and things like that. Because we as a society will win in the future when every talent, not just those of a higher income level students, is developed according to their potential.
I agree 100% with that. Dr. Simpkins, that's right on with my wavelength. Do you think what, I mean, just in terms of inclusion, in terms of gifted education, are we doing the best job in terms of including everybody that should be included, or could we be doing a much better job?
So this is a question really of identification. And that is why this is so, so important that teachers who work with the students every day know the signs of gifted students and do not ignore their hunches when they're seeing a student clearly seems to be grasping things very quickly. They're getting good grades, sometimes average grades, but they're demonstrating potential to learn much faster. Oftentimes, this quote-unquote, quote, good or excellent students are just sometimes encouraged to continue to do well, but then not encouraged to do more. And that's why it is critical that teachers at schools receive training on how to spot the students who are gifted, or identify them basically, and recommend them for either further evaluation or follow whatever the processes that a particular county uses to either recommend them for more advanced or gifted classes, or even for acceleration, grade acceleration, whether it's a whole grade or subject level acceleration.
And that's why what we're talking about, you know, school districts, you know, slashing budgets, you know, talking about getting rid of gifted resource teachers. This is the time now where people really need to be more active, and, you know, they need to, you know, write their politicians. They need to make their voices heard in, you know, local school districts. Do what you're doing, sign petitions, because, you know, unless people are doing what you're doing, Dr. Simpkins, nobody really knows that there's a problem. You know, would you agree with that? People have to be more active.
That is correct. And this is precisely why, when I said it is so, so important that teachers at schools receive training from the central resource teachers who have expertise in identifying and educating gifted students, because an average family is not going to have that expertise. An average parent doesn't probably recognize a gifted student because they might never had it. Our advisory committee has about 200 members on and off who join our meetings, but these are exceptions. These are people who either have been in gifted programs when they were growing up and they have an increased awareness that these programs exist, and when they have a child who is demonstrating signs of having giftedness, they will advocate for them. But I will tell you, in our district, we have over 111,000 students. Approximately 30,000 of the students participate in some kind of a GT class, and it varies from art, music, math, sciences, English language arts, and so forth. But only approximately 200 people attend our meetings.
Wow.
So this is a very small fraction of students who are represented in our advisory committee, because an average parent sees good grades or sees a particular student doing well, and they're just happy with that. They don't maybe realize that they're capable of much more. And really, our role as a parent is to support our student, advocate for them when we know it's the appropriate time to advocate for them. But again, because we don't see our students in action in the classroom, we might not have necessarily awareness of how capable our students are. And so that's why it's important that teachers play that role of identifying gifted students. But every teacher in the classroom will have specialization in math, English, environmental science, or whatever it is that they teach. None of them would have specialized in gifted and talented education. That's why the few resource teachers at central offices that have specialized in GT education, they're the ones that are supposed to offer training across the system and have this multiplier effect. So that's why it is really going to be a huge loss of human capital if these resource teacher positions are eliminated.
Wow. Well, and like you said, the ones that ultimately lose are the kids, because they're losing out on, you know, vast opportunities that could have taken them to so many other open up so many doors for them, you know, college-wise, career-wise, you know, down the road.
That's correct. And it's not just the kids themselves. The direct loss is to the kids. But we as a society really have to lose a whole lot more too, because we are losing future doctors, future engineers, future teachers.
Wow. This is this is definitely something that will this is definitely on the forefront. And this just gives more reason here in Wisconsin. You know, we keep imploring people to, you know, write our legislators, let people know what you think about gifted education. Make sure that you appreciate gifted education. Make sure that they know that how much you appreciate gifted education, and make sure that they know that gifted education matters. So I think that you know, making your voice heard is really important with this, just mainly because of the fact that I think if we don't say anything, you know, situations like this are going to keep happening, and we need to put a stop to this and make sure that it becomes a priority, not just for budgets and not just for money, but you know, for the kids. I think that's the most important, right?
That's correct. That's the right thing to do. And our children have a right to receive appropriate education. It's their constitutional right. And this movements by districts to eliminate resource teachers really are violating their rights to receive that appropriate education. It's just difficult to comprehend why certain boards of education or executives in districts make these decisions, because they're driven by short-term budgetary savings, but ultimately in the long term creating tremendous societal losses of human capital because it never gets developed.
Wow. And when you say it like that, it's actually pretty sad. So just trying to fix a problem with a short-term gain that ultimately turns into a long-term loss. So
exactly.
That's sad. But Dr. Simpkins, I will not take any more of your time. I really appreciate you chatting with me today on the WATG podcast. Keep doing incredible things in and around Baltimore County, and hopefully all the work and effort that you do winds up well with the chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee for Gifted and Talented Education in and around Baltimore County. Hopefully that spurs some change and is able to help people to realize that, you know, gifted education should be a priority. So
thank you for your role in spreading messages like this to people in Wisconsin about the importance of gifted and talented programs.
You're very welcome. All right. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye.